Okay, so I'm at the Groucho Club. Yes, I'm at the Groucho Club. And I'm with Zoe Margolis, who's very kindly given me some time. So Zoe is writing under the pseudonym of Abby Lee and on Twitter as Girl One Track, which I'm sure you're already following. And tonight is the book launch for Zoe's second book. So it's The Girl With A One Track Mind Exposed. So really, Zoe, the whole kind of idea of your second book really picks up upon the point after when the Sunday Times very cruelly exposed you with your whole identity. Do you think that if that wasn't the case, would there have been a second book that you could have actually written and published?
I'm not sure that there could have been. I think that I had said at the time all I wanted to say about sex and my sex life, and I sort of wanted to move into other areas of writing. And it's taken me some time actually to be able to come to a point emotionally and on a sort of practical level to feel that I wanted to write about the experience that I had. And the reason that I chose to write about the outing experience and my life thereafter and how it was affected by that was because I felt that I'd been treated incredibly harshly as a woman by the media for expressing my sexuality and my sexual desire. And that if I didn't comment on that, if I let it slip, that would almost be supporting the attacks that had been made on me, and that it was really important not to have my writing and my perspective undermined. So that's why I ended up writing about this, you know, 3 years later, mind. Now I've got some kind of distance from it and I can reflect back. But at the time, it was incredibly hard for me.
So for the second book, you must have approached this very, very differently. Was there any kind of concerns about naming people or making references to situations, knowing that people reading it then know who you were?
The second book is an entirely different approach for me as a writer. The first book was much less knowing, and the second one is very self-conscious, and I've had to be incredibly careful in terms of what I've written about people. So there are people's identities are very disguised, I mean, as they were in the first book, but even more so. And I've, you know, had to run things past people to check that it's okay, where if they've been written on the blog or in the book. And I suppose there's a certain self-knowledge and a self-awareness that then is less freeing than the first book. So there was probably, I'm not saying the second book isn't upfront and honest, because it very much is, but the first book, because it was written anonymously, had utter freedom of expression, and the second book has been much more controlled, much more censored really, and, you know, legally I have to be incredibly careful about what I say, because I want to uphold and protect other people's privacy. That's really important to me, so I've had to go through everything with a fine-tooth comb to make sure I do that.
So it seems that the message in the first book was really kind of you celebrating about females and women empowering their own sexuality and being kind of really out there and being proud as to your own kind of self-being as a sexual female. What do you think really the message is in this second book? Is it more about the way the media has really got hold of you and tried to manipulate issues rather than about sexuality in itself?
I think there's probably two threads in the book, really. One is about my experience of being outed, which I hope will allude to how women are treated by the media as a whole, in terms of how their image is always the first point of discussion and how they're cut down if they express themselves in terms of their sexuality. And I hope it will give some people insight into how celebrities are treated on a day-to-day basis, given that I've had a tiny, tiny experience of the same treatment. And on the other hand, it's also about celebrating female sexuality again and saying that really we have to ensure that it's talked about, it's debated, it's discussed, it's open, that we lose any stigma attached to it, any sexist stereotypes. And the only way to do that is to continue having an open dialogue about it. And, you know, if I'd hidden my head in the sand or pretended that, you know, my life was over and I just didn't want to continue with anything, and this book didn't exist, then we would still be in the same place we were a few years ago, where I would have been, you know, accepting being called a slut or a seedy or shameless, as I was. So I hope that the book will offer people the opportunity to question how women are viewed in the media, question how they view women themselves, whether they're male or female, and also to start questioning sexuality a little bit more, and just, again, have a more of an open dialogue about it.
Okay, a tough question. I get the sense that you seem a lot more free, a lot more empowered after having been really cruelly outed by the Sunday Times. It's given you maybe a new purpose, a new identity. Do you feel that that was, in retrospective, although quite cruel, but a positive move that happened to you?
I think that when I got outed, there were two options available to me. One was to dig my head in the sand and pretend none of it had happened and to try and hide away. And the other was to try and embrace the situation I was in and make something out of it. And it was a difficult decision for me to make because my instinct was to hide away. I was so distraught by what happened to me and my family and my friends and my work. And I just didn't want to have to deal with anything face on. I felt much too weak and affected by it all. But I also was aware that if I hid myself away, that would be undermining everything I'd ever said about women and about sexuality. And that it was more important almost for the debate, not for me, but for the debate, to come out and be open about it and to continue those dialogues. So I made the decision to carry on doing what I'm doing and to try and exploit the media platform that I've been thrust onto to have those debates and those conversations. And that is exactly what's happened. And of course now, 3 years later, 3.5 years later, I'm now in a position where I can talk openly in the media. I get asked to do television and radio and, you know, newspaper stuff. And those debates can happen, and they probably wouldn't have happened if I'd still been anonymous, because, you know, nobody wants a nameless author or somebody who's not willing to show their face. So yes, I'm in a much better position now, and I'm glad that I've exploited that public platform, but it was a really horrendous experience to be outed and to have to be forced into making that decision.
Yeah, wonderful. I think the whole kind of lesson here to be learned is that what I've really, really enjoyed seeing is that you've been in control of your whole identity online. And so these horrid, horrid, cruel personal attacks made against you and your family, and then you had some kind of platform online, you know, via your blog, via Twitter, via Facebook, and you were really in control of like what you were saying. And I think that is a really good example of accountability as to how to actually control what the message is.
I think, you know, it was in early days in 2006 where I realized that the very first hit on Google for my name was a Daily Mail article which was incredibly offensive to me and very sexist, and I realised there was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't remove it. The only power I had was to try and dominate the digital space by occupying it myself. And so it was quite a very active decision on my part to suddenly become very prominent, you know, on Twitter, very active on Twitter and very active on Facebook and Flickr and whatever digital domain I could possibly occupy, to own the space around my name. And if you now Google me, you know, that horrible Daily Mail article is one example. It doesn't come up till the third or fourth page, which in my mind means I've won. I've taken over that domain. And I think more people need to do that. They need to realise that they need to take control of their identity. And they won't do that unless they do it digitally, because that's where the power is nowadays. The first thing people do is search on Google.
Yeah, okay, so wonderful. I think that's the conclusion is there's a great lesson here to be learnt. The whole sexual idea is also a really powerful message, and let's not really undermine that. But also, just I think the message here from the second book is that about the power of online identity and how really you can be yourself and take control upon this and have your own point of view to be put across. So the second book is The Girl with the One-Track Mind Exposed, and it's by Abby Lee, who is also Zoe Margolis. As we know, I'm proud to celebrate that, and on Twitter it's Girl One-Track. So Zoe, thank you for your time.
Thank you.